the 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company.
Welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. It is great to be with you once again, and thank you so much. Before we get started, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. We are highlighting everything in Fort Wayne, the 260 baseball. Of course, we're highlighting everything from Little League to high school, travel ball, college, all the way up to the pros. As our first guest was Garrett Shanley, who has done it all. Started in Little League, went on to play at Northrop High School and then Cincinnati Bearcat, and is now in the Chicago White Sox organization. This week, we go to the high school ranks, and we are talking about someone that is joining the 600 Club, and he is the head coach of the Leo Lions baseball program. Mr. Gary Rogers is joining the program today. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. I know this is you're not really a public guy. You really don't like talking about how great you are, so let me do that for you today.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Coach. So, hey, you joined the 600 Club. 600 wins, one of, I think, three active coaches in our Fort Wayne area baseball high school to win 600 games. How did you feel, and what was your first reaction when you were told that you won 600 games?
Well, it just means I'm old, I think, is the main thing. I think the longevity of it kind of hits you, because there's not too many of us now that stay in high school with high school baseball coaching for, you know, the amount of time that myself and guys like Dave Bischoff and Dean Lehrman are spending, you know, around here.
So, Coach, tell me what year are you in your tenure of coaching high school? Not just Leo, but all together.
Altogether, I'm in year 43. I started helping Lance Hershberger at Bishop Dwinger as an assistant when he was over there in that program, and then I went to New Haven as an assistant and worked under Don Hummel, and then an assistant at Lures under Larry Girardo, and before taking the head coaching job at Bishop Lures way back in 1985-86.
Wow. So, yeah, I got a lot to learn today, Coach. Let's just put it that way. Got a lot to learn. So I'll talk about you know, what made you, because I imagine you played as a youngster, what made you decide, hey, I want to give back to the game of baseball and begin coaching back then?
Well, back in the, I'm from Merrillville, Indiana, up in the region, and always played baseball. My dad was, he coached Little League and had to build a mound in our backyard and caught me pitching wise. And I had a brother, I still have brother Bob. We would play one-on-one baseball in the lot, you know. Nice. That was when we only had three stations on the TV, you know. And so that's what started me with the whole thing. And then I played through high school. Actually, we were fortunate enough to play in a semi-state in high school and got beat by a Bill Derbyshire Elmhurst coach team and a person on the mound by the name of Terry Smith. We lost 1-0 in South Bend semi-state. And then just at that time, well, I always grew up thinking I was going to be a professional baseball player. Obviously, that didn't work out. So I always had a passion for baseball and played other sports too. But my passion was baseball, and I was always good at I like to work with the kids around the neighborhood and do those. You know, I'm just good with kids, I guess. And I had an opportunity to play at a small NIA place in Newberry, South Carolina. So I thought, hey, if I could play baseball, I'll go there. I wasn't really ready for the whole college thing. And my goal in high school was just to stay eligible to play baseball. So I came back. My dad was a steel worker, so came back working in the steel mill. Didn't want to do that, so had a chance to go to Huntington College, and I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And the closest thing I could figure out was I'd play baseball and get a degree in education so I could at least stay with that, with the game. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what got it started, and played baseball at Huntington, and then graduated from Huntington, moved to Louisiana because I didn't have any jobs out of college, and went down there and worked for my uncle building bridges. And I actually played down there in a semi-pro type league. It was called the Sugarcane League. The guys I was working with, the work crew, said they were African-American black guys, and they said, hey, look like you played a little bass. I said, yeah, do you want to play? I said, yeah. It was all black league. I was the only white guy in the league.
Let's go.
It was the same place that same league Oil Can Boyd came out. It's called the Sugarcane League, and so I've always, and then moved back up here and took a job as a teacher at a small Catholic school, St. Aloysius, and got the opportunity to coach basketball and at Lures, and then eventually a good friend of mine, Lance Hirschberger, asked me to help him out at Dwinger, and that's kind of how I got started in the high school ranks, and then eventually took a job as a guidance counselor at Bishop Lures, and worked under Larry Girardo for a year as an assistant, and then he took the basketball job, and I took the baseball job, and been doing it ever since. I kind of unique in that I moved over to Harding, took a job over at Harding High School, but I was able to keep my coaching job at Lures because Harding had a coach, and so I just stayed at Lures, and then when Harding closed, moved to Leo and still coached at Lures until Dave Boyce was the coach at Leo, and then he took a job as the AD at Woodland, and then I stepped into the job at Leo, and that's where I am now.
And the rest is history. I mean, we got a lot to unpack there. I just want to start off. So you pretty much were, In your own way, the white Jackie Robinson down south then, right?
Yes, yeah. I tell you what, it was a really great experience. I loved the guys I played with. They were, they lifted me up when I needed it, and they a good group, a unique situation where it was just old time, just grandstands. And on a Sunday, I'm like, boy, it was. You'd travel all over these towns in Louisiana, and I would drive up, and I'd look, and I'd say, well, nobody's here. And they would say, just wait. And there were busloads of people that would spend a Sunday afternoon at a picnic-type situation and then a little alcohol involved, watching baseball. It was interesting. Those guys took me under their wing, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, well, in case someone's listening right now that may have a production crew, we'll be looking for the movie regarding Coach and his time.
No kidding.
But all seriousness, though, so I am coaching it now as well. So I'm coaching Little League and giving back. This is my third year coaching Little League. And
awesome.
One of the things that I have learned, because I played high school baseball, played those ranks, and I wasn't the greatest player. Like, I could hit, and that was literally about it. But I am great at teaching the game. So for you being a good player, from what it sounds like, I mean, you were good enough to play in college and play for semi-pro. What was the biggest difference for you going from a player to coach?
Well, I tell you, but that's interesting because we have that conversation all the time. As you know, I've also been the commissioner for the Wildcat League for this is my 38th year in the Wildcat League, and
wow. I didn't know that.
In the summertime, and so we talk about, you know, those high school players that have been pretty good high school players, and then they come into our program and now have to teach a kid who. We take, you know, Wildcat is everybody plays the game. So there's kids, you know, like you said, that can't throw, can't catch. And those kids are used to just being able to do it. And so, you know, we try to help them with drills to, okay, here's how you break it down and here's how you do that. And I can tell you a story. When I was a director at Northwood, that was the site, my first Wildcat site that, when I took the job, and there was a little kid that, he came in the summer and he would get mad and he would start crying, you know, couldn't hit. I can't hit. And I said, you just keep coming and you keep coming and you're going to hit. It'll happen. And so then about the middle of summer, he started hitting. And I mean, it was the greatest thing ever. And then one day he comes and he's crying. He goes, every time I hit it to somebody. I said, but at least you're hitting that, you know.
That's right.
And so I think the biggest thing is staying with those kids and giving them a positive experience and, you know, just playing the game. Have fun playing the game. I mean, you know, back in the day, we just had neighborhood games, you know, and lo and behold, we all survived.
That's right. I mean, and have passed it on. And it feels like another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up, too, because, like, you've got throughout your tenure, you know, you've got to coach a lot of great ball players, you know, throughout your tenure. Who were some of the players that, you know, because, like, one example I like to give is Kevin Kiermaier. I played against him in high school. And when he first started in high school, he was okay, right? Like he needed a little bit of work. What were some things that worked with him, and what are some things that you kind of use for some of the top notch players to help them take that next step?
Yeah, well, Kevin was obviously proud of him and what he was able to accomplish, but he was just a little guy coming in. We called him Squeaks. When he came in and a really good athlete, but you know, a really good height and developed it, but he played three sports and so he wasn't, you know, able to give everything to baseball, which was fine because he was an athlete and I always loved athletes, you know, and but with Kevin, we were playing up in the semi-state in South Bend, and he was pitching. And kid hit a ball behind him, and he took his glove behind his back and caught the ball behind his back. and I said, man, we're winning tonight. But that was the kind of athlete he was. Well, then when he got out, and he really didn't have a lot of offer. He had like Huntington and Indiana Tech and some people around here, but. When we were able to, fortunate enough to go down and play in the state finals, that's where Coach Kennedy from Parkland saw him and another one of his buddies, Tyler Watts, who was a good player as well, and recruited them there. And so then later on, I went and Tyler came back, and we were talking at practice one day, and he goes, Coach, Kevin's going to get drafted. And I go, get drafted? Where's he? Is he Army, Navy, what? he goes, no, Coach, baseball, Major League Baseball. And I go, you're kidding me. Well, then I went and saw him play at Parkland, and I'm like, he is a man amongst boys because he took all his energy in what he, you know, in playing the game and just put it all in there and developed. He did what they told him to do, and then when he went to West Virginia in rookie ball, I went down and watched him play, and he said, you know, Coach, here's the deal. A lot of these guys have already made millions of dollars in signing, and I didn't make that much in my signing book. So I'm just doing what they're telling me to do. I'm hustling. I'm on and off the field like we were told to do, you know. And you know, he said, a lot of that stuff, I'm doing what you told me to, you know. So they look at me as a company guy, so to speak. One of the things I've always said to our kids, I'm not big on celebrating and all that stuff. You know, when they get a hit and all that good stuff that's in the game now. And I've always said, act like you've done it before. And that was always our motto: act like you've done it before. We didn't, you know, no big celebrations. If you hit a home run, you sprinted around the bases just like you would any other. You know, if you walked, you sprint down to, you know, first base. And he, you know, it was funny. He called me just after he's, you know, retired now, and he called me several months ago and just thanking me. And he said, Coach, you know, you always told us, always act like you've done it before. And he goes, mm-hmm. Every time I make a catch, I'm thinking about that before I make the catch. And a lot of those things I just know I can do now. You know, I can do that. And he said, even with the stuff when he was with the Dodgers in the World Series, he said, you know, that stuff that they, that was kind of stuff they wanted us to do, and I did it. But I always thought, you know, act like you've done it before. And so with Kevin, he just loved to play the game. And one of the things he always tells, and I always tell our kids now, anytime you have a chance in batting practice to see a ball off the bat and act like, you know, put it into a game situation. You know, I remember hearing one time Kevin say that, or his dad told me that they were at playing the Yankees, and the Yankee hitters in batting practice would hit, and then they'd say, Kiermaier catch that one? Kiermaier couldn't catch that one in their batting practice, you know. Wow. So pretty cool stuff. The last time I was able to see Kevin, last year we were in Houston, and when he was with Toronto, they were playing Houston, and was able to see him. He called him. I said, hey, we're in Houston, you know, and he got his ticket. I took my aunt, who my mom and my mom and aunt had lived down in Houston because they were displaced from Katrina from New Orleans, and that's a different story, but they watched the Astros. Every night they watched the Astros. And my mom passed away, but my aunt, we took her to the game. And so it was a really neat experience.
Yeah, Coach. I mean, I'm sure you have all kinds of memories. And a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show, Jim Shevlin, always, he told me when I told him I wanted to interview you, he told me in quotes, he's forgotten more about the game than most people will ever know. So right now, I want to know, as someone that is an historian of baseball, who I want to learn more and hear some of the fun stories and some of the stories from some of Fort Wayne's greats. I want to know one most memorable story, the first one that comes to mind for you as a player, and your most memorable story as a coach.
Probably as a player. Oh, boy. Probably playing in the semi-state and we lost 1-0. We only had three hits, and I had one of the three hits. That one I remember a lot. I go back on that one a lot. And then as a coach, probably. Boy, there's a lot of them there, but that state championship would be a hard one to pass by, because it was such a great group of kids. We had 11 seniors, and they were all unselfish seniors. You know, you as a coach, if you know, you have a senior-dominated team, everybody wants to play, and you know that can happen. But these kids were very unselfish, and that was a great moment.
Yeah, Coach. I mean, and for someone that's been coaching for 30, 40 years at the high school ranks, I imagine, you know, how did you adjust to the way the game is changing? Because, like, now it's so different. Everyone's playing travel ball. Nobody's playing Little League anymore. Like you said, like, when you first started, you know, there was more pickup baseball, where now you drive past fields and half of them are empty. So, like, talk about the adjustment, you know, going through these years and how your approach to coaching has possibly changed.
Well, first of all, it's sad that you go by Little League fields and they're not being played on. I think that's the saddest part of it. And
I agree.
And because we have gotten into a world where kids think if they don't play on a travel team, they're no good. They don't belong. And that's so untrue. It's just sad. But the adjustment has been kind of interesting. We're living in a different world now as a coach, and I grew up as a high school being the supreme ultimate destination. I would go to high school games as a little kid because we lived right by the high school field, and I would wait for them to crack a bat and throw it away so I could take it home and tape it up and put some screws in it and use it. So I always put the high school programs and those kids that played. I had a neighbor that played, and I thought Mickey Caboy, and man, Mickey, I got to get there. You know, he's great. And and now it really has gone from, with all these showcases and all this stuff, and kids are being taken from show. It's become a financial thing for a lot of entities. You know, they're running year round facilities, and I've had kids just recently this year. You know, hey, we have to go to hitting coach. Can we? You know, and I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing here. What are we hitting here? You know, so it's interesting. So what we've tried to do is kind of mend, because that's not going away. I don't see that going away anytime soon. So we try to facilitate, you know, like when we come in with pitchers now, we have to. Now, during the season, it's a little bit different because they can't do as much. But before the season, in our preseason program, we ask the kid, when are you throwing? Did you throw a pen on Sunday? Because then we have to incorporate our program around that, and especially so we don't have arm issues, you know, we don't want to. So we talk about that it's different now, and now, like, I've been probably I can't tell you how many clinics and seminars, and I watch baseball all the time, and I'm still learning the game, you know, and how can I help kids, and I always tell them, you know, you take, everybody has good information. Just take what works for you and use that, you know. So that's kind of how it's changed for us and in the teaching part of it. I'll be honest with you. The teaching part of the summer is not there much anymore. You know, kids are playing. They're playing in tournaments every weekend. That means stuff. Yeah. You know, it sounds like fun to me, but they're not practicing. They're not learning the game like it used to be, you know. So we have to – I really spend a lot of time reteaching things and going over things that they haven't had before.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's more, you know, everyone talks about, well, what are you doing this summer? Well, I'm playing in a tournament over in Ohio. I'm playing in a tournament over in Michigan. And it's like, well, are you working on any aspects of your game? No, just playing.
Right. And that's just crazy. And you know, a good example, you know, and I go back again, it's Kevin Kiermaier. We're playing in a sectional over at that time it was at Belmont. No, it was regional. And he comes up, there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, and he at the time could not hit a left-handed. You might as well put him up there without a bat. So the lefty's on the mound, and we go to the I look in the dugout. I got a right-handed hitter in there, but he's half asleep, I think. And that's not a, I mean, he's his coach. I think he's asleep. I'm like, get him up, you know. And so then they see me getting the right-handed hitter up, and it was John Stevens was a coach at Belmont at the time. And so he puts in a right-hand pitcher. Kevin comes up to me and goes, Coach, I can hit the righty. And I said, okay, you're up. And he gets a hit, and we end up winning the game. But so he had to work himself into being a better hitter against left-handed pitchers if he wanted to play, you know, at the level he's played at. But just kind of interesting that things have changed with kids and being what they're taught and you know, you have to kind of try to adjust to it, and some of it is tough to adjust to, you know, trying to facilitate that sometimes, and sometimes you just can't.
That's true, but whatever you're doing, Coach, it's working. I mean, I'm checking out the team this year, and the Lions are looking pretty solid. Just coming out, I think you just played yesterday, I believe. I think you played Fremont yesterday, and I know I've got to see a lot of Luke McDonald. I know a lot of people are used to seeing his game, but kind of talk about the team you got this year at Leo.
Yeah, Coach, it's been a good start for us. We're going to get into our conference and to some you know, a lot of games hooked together. So we're very young on the mound, and that's been a pleasant surprise for us. My assistant coach Jim Sikafoos, has worked really hard with those pitchers. I have an outstanding staff with Jim Sikafoos and Dean Kellogg, who played at Northwest Ohio as a pitcher there. Mitch Meinholz, who has been with the Leo program before I even got there and works for the Comets. And then, fortunately, I persuaded Jim Shovlin to come on, and he runs our JV program and does a great job with those kids. Kids love him. We brought on Sean Marquardt has come on. Derek Boyer, who played at Cherubusco and Trine. So it's really been a fun staff. When I started, I had guys that played for us when I was at Tech, Brian Turner, who's really a go-getter type guy, and we've got a relationship built with the Little League now, and they've been great to us, and then actually our players are going to go over to they're getting ready on May 2nd to open up their ceremonies, and we're going to go and work that, but this Leo team is a good group of kids that out there and enjoy coaching them. We've been fortunate on the mound. A couple of our kids have really stepped up and are pounding the zone and hitting their spots, and that's been really good for us. We've got, of course, we're really good up the middle with Luke McDonald, who's going to play at Taylor next year, and Alex Robinson, who's going to play at St. Francis. We've got two very good catchers in Nolan Butcher and Patrick Drudy, and a really good second baseman in Dominic Reniger, and that's been really good. We have a senior on the mound that is going to play at Indiana Wesleyan next year, Landon Ruoff. So they've been really good contributors to the program. I can't tell you how many double plays we've turned, and more than any team, throughout the this group coming up, than any team I've ever coached. And they're just really good defensively, and I think that's where our strength is, and we can hit a little bit. And we're getting, now that the weather's warming up, we're heating up a little bit more. But the thing I lay my hat on is our ability to bunt. We can bunt. Last night we bunted, I think, three times. Our first three hitters bunted for base hits, and ended up scoring 8 runs in the first inning. So they can do some things that will help you win games.
That's right, Coach. And I think the city took notice with the big win over Carroll. We got a lot. Definitely want to make sure to bring you on once again later on in the season. I know you guys are still rolling and playing great baseball, but I definitely would love to bring you on when as the season progresses. But thank you so much for coming on, Coach, and keep rolling with those Lions. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, DC, and thanks for doing this for baseball around here. It's awesome.
Thank you so much, Coach. Take care, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this exclusive presentation of the 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company,